up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, May 24th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Murray, and I shall be your host today as we have a mashup Wednesday, Man Down Wednesday, that where I am here with Aaron Green, who is the host of On The Clock, and this is Guardian Radio AM, and we talk about what is trending in the news. One of the things that is trending in the news, and I was going back and forth with Aaron about earlier, was I think there was a diesel strike yesterday, right? I'm almost sure of it because WhatsApp went viral and people start complaining. Then all of a sudden, news start saying, hey, if you have a diesel truck, or you ain't getting no diesel. And I want to know, was this something authorized or off the cuff? Was this an organized event? Or was it something that one or two retailers, resellers decided to do? And was it illegal?
All good questions. Is it a protest at all? Mm. Is it a formal protest? Initially, I thought it was a shortage. On Monday evening, someone shared with me a voice note of a very concerned, I think, bus driver who was like, "Man, okay, what's happening? I'm on E. I need diesel. I gotta work. I gotta get my bus home. I gotta get back on the road tomorrow. You know what's happening?" And so it wasn't until Tuesday morning when I saw the headlines that I realized that this is more of a formal or organized something. But it became obvious that not all diesel retailers were involved, not all diesel suppliers were involved, not all trucks or drivers that use diesel had an issue finding diesel, not everybody, right? Not all commerce, diesel-driven commerce, pun intended, was impacted by whatever actions took place yesterday.
But remind me, Aaron, and basically for the listening audience, what is this all about? Why are these resellers, these retailers, gas retailers, demonstrating? I can call it a demonstration. What's a demonstration? Why are they still demonstrating? So, I thought the government already solved this.
Well, what we do know is that I've been asking Vasco Bastian to come on the show. He has begged me to exercise some patience with him because of the nature of the negotiations and give them some time to give the government some time, right? Mm-hmm. And so we know that the Retailers Association has been waiting for a response from the government. They've been waiting for the government to act, to propose something new. And I think what we learn in the article, diesel sales stop at some stations, 23rd, it made us yesterday in The Guardian, is that, and I can read it, after repeatedly promising to take quote-unquote decisive action to cut operating costs, some petroleum retailers on New Providence stopped selling diesel yesterday, leaving the drivers of vehicles that use the fuel driving around trying to fill their tanks and continue earning a living. It was the start of action that could reverberate throughout the economy if it drags on without resolution. Full stop. So that article, diesel sales stop at some stations, will give you a bit of a breakdown of what had been happening between the Retailers Association and the government, and specifically the conversations with Mr. Halkidis, Senator Halkidis.
And I see Mr. Halkidis says no comment at this present time. But I would assume this was a shot above the bow. I guess that's a quote.
Goes, across,
right?
The bow, yeah.
Where it's reminding government that we still out here. We out here and you haven't addressed our issues as yet, right? Mm-hmm. But who did this impact? It didn't impact me because I drive gas. I have a gasoline car, right? So, and I'm trying to say, it didn't attract, impact the big trailers and the big business who uses diesel, right? So who exactly did this shortage or demonstration impact? Because I only hear bus drivers complaining.
Well, it appears that it's only impacted those business people who rely on retail service, who fuel up their own vehicles, who go to the gas station and fuel up their own vehicles. So we're talking about bus drivers, public transportation system. That's a big problem. And then in the article, tough day for some drivers who need diesel to make a living, some truck and bus drivers, as well as drivers of other vehicles, were scrambling. In that article, we speak to drivers.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them is in the tourism industry and drives a large vehicle that runs on diesel. And they were very, very concerned that they, what will they do with their tourists?
Hmm.
And then we had concerns about people who are projecting and saying, well, what if this extends to gas?
Hmm.
What if the Retailers Association decide that they are going to have another demonstration and demonstrate what happens when there's limited access to gas for the regular cars.
And before we change topics, right, we must remember why government extension, right? The extension because any increase will impact the entire Bahamas.
Pause. This is why you say it like that.
Because I'm terrified.
You know what gas is? Let's calm. I know you're scared. I'm scared too.
You're scared. You don't drive like how I drive.
No. And you got a family and eight jobs.
Yeah.
I know.
So
I don't want you on the road after two.
That's what I'm trying to say.
However, the government continually suggests that they are slow to act. They are cautious to act. Let me be polite. They're cautious to act because they don't want to do anything that will negatively impact the Bahamian people. Certainly, they don't want to put the in. They don't want to allow the increase to be a direct burden on the Bahamian consumer.
Hmm.
And I really appreciate that. My thing is, why can't the government just take a tax cut? Like, why can't they reduce what they receive?
So you're saying, why can't the nurses and the garbage truck take a cut?
No.
That's what you just said.
I'm saying,
that's the government.
No, why can't the politicians take a cut?
A pay cut on their salaries?
Yes.
They don't make no money now. They make 24.
It's okay. They don't produce anything now.
They don't produce anything. Man, let's be real.
I am being very real.
When you say pay cut from taxes, right, we got to understand that these taxes is what pays and runs the Bahamas. That's the nurses, right? That's the doctors.
And the politicians' salaries.
No, that's the government.
No, that's workers. Taxes.
That's the government.
No, that's where
salary.
The taxes go as
right?
well.
And because you know how much the MP makes, 24,000? That ain't no money, man. That's like minimum wage.
You know this thing called Zoom?
Yeah, so
do you know the impact that it could have on our travel budget if we use it appropriately?
Mm.
Tremendous. There are spaces, there are places where we can extract money from to balance what is lost if the government takes a cut.
Mm. But let's read the text lines because I want to transition because I want to talk about this rape issue, right? In the news, there's a gentleman who is accused, who's on bail, by the way, who is accused of raping two women and a man.
Mm-hmm.
Two women and a man.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to have that juxtapose of having a halfway house. Because I that's the last thing we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, this was by the Minister of National Security. And they mean well. And I'm not dismissing the idea that there's a need, that there isn't a need for a halfway house. I'm just saying that they always put these type of entities in the inner city where we are the most vulnerable, right? And never consider putting it where the impact is less detrimental, right? Why can't a halfway house be out west where the people have gated communities and cameras anyway, so they're protected? In contrast to, I have little children, small children who walk in the road with people who have issues.
And parks where the Wi-Fi don't really Wi-Fi.
So why put me in jeopardy? It means that they don't really care about me.
Especially.
See, and I get emotional here.
Especially since Sam Bankman-Fried said that he thought Albany would make a great environment for a halfway house. He actually lobbied for it. He wanted a halfway house right in Albany.
Put it in Albany. Just read the text and let's talk about that. And I want to talk about the good reverend, senior reverend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most venerable reverend. And mind you, this is a decent man. But his commentary, and this is a tie into rape, I want to investigate because this is one of the reasons why I think a number of pastors, including him, have issue. And I mentioned this before, with this marital rape bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to investigate what he said. And I believe that's the crux, the root of the concern of men in general regarding marital rape. Let's go to the text.
All right. So this, and I want to say this text is from, anyway, this is someone who I was disagreeing with earlier in the show. And they said, no way I want those halfway houses in Baintown. Besides, the residents of those halfway houses won't feel comfortable anywhere else other than the ghettos. Dear Texter, come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on, man. That's not fair. That's not nice. And it suggests that you only see what we call blue-collar crime as crime. White-collar crime is crime, too. Not disclosing, according to the Public Disclosure Act, should be a crime, even though it has penalties that we don't follow. Anyway, another text. Great show as usual. They need to put the halfway house by my... I forget who's texting me. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is a part of the concern. No... That's a part of the concern, Texter. Has the legality of price controls ever been challenged in the courts? Thank you, Texter. Now, that was a story in this week, even this week, I think, just yesterday, Monday's Guardian, about the increase in prices in the food stores. With their Texter, we're going to have to get back to you on that subject on price control.
But price control is about a certain amount of items. Selected items, not inside the food store, is controlled by, what do you call it? Not economy to scale, competition, right?
Yeah.
Like supply and demand.
Forces.
Yeah, supply and demand. You don't control their prices, and there's no price gouging. If you're selling a peanut butter for $40, I ain't buying it. I'm going to go to someplace else. Right, so that's not, then eventually that owner who has that peanut butter spoiler and say, I need to put this on sale, and I got to put it on sale at half price, and you get it for $20, and I still buy it until it goes down to $7, right? Uh-huh. But so that isn't controlled by price control. Bread basket items are controlled by price control.
Yeah, there was a story in one of the other media houses yesterday about well, they had, I think, price control staff investigating something that happened on one of the family islands. And there was a really massive difference in price between two different, well, the same bread product in two different stores. Mm. And price control spoke to that and recommend and told people what they could do. And say, especially if you found it at another price, at a far better price in another store, return the one that you feel is significantly overpriced and they must receive it.
Just pay extra gas and go back and say, I don't want this bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's $5 I pay, and they get $2 back. Yeah,
right, because it's on the family island.
Yeah, that's a bad drive. Right. Like two food stores right next to each other.
It was a significant difference in price, though. Mm-hmm. It was a significant difference in price.
Yeah. Finish the text.
Go says, CA, can you name a single product that the price has not increased on in recent years, especially since the pandemic?
I'm sure all the prices have increases. I mean, my salary increased once or twice, not much. But I mean, it increased still. It wasn't living. And light, water, all of them has increased. So I understand the frustration of the texter.
Yeah.
But we understand that the market forces control price. But bread basket items are controlled or monitored by the government.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Uh-huh. Just decide not to buy it. Grow your own apples and grapes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Rex Major.
Yes. Oh, let's get this call first, and then we go to Mr. Rex Major. Producer Patrick, call through. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, you mean me?
Yes, that's you.
Yeah, that's me. Okay, good morning, Mr. Neri.
Good morning,
Cecil,
man.
Cecil, right?
Yes, inshallah, mashallah to you.
Cecil. Hey, good morning, Ms. Korean.
Morning.
Okay, I just want to say, if we get a chance to, I think he mentioned it just now, but he just said a reverend gentleman, but I was wondering if he meaning Rex Major, and how you feel about what Rex Major had to say, and... why Asocha, who might be, I don't know if the word is rejoicing, but in agreements with him, why we should not agree with him, or why we should agree with him. I mean, it's our opinion, but I want to know what your opinion is, if you think what he had to say.
I'm going to explore it right now. Thanks for calling, man.
One last question.
Go ahead, man.
Okay, one last question. The Haitian Flag Day was supposed to be last week, I think, and I think they're supposed to be having it this week. You know, we all have fine time to maybe reach out to them, or they reach out to Guardian.
I can do you a favor and have them on Friday.
Why? Why I say that, Cecil?
Go ahead.
The reason why I say it, Cecil, is that, you know, we contemplating what to do to help Haiti with the problems with the gangs and all the people getting killed over there, and maybe they might have some solution different from us behemoths recommending them thousands, tens of thousands of them will be celebrating the Flag Day, not just here in the Bahamas, but in the United States and around the world. Why don't they, volunteer Some of them is doctors, smart. Some of them is soldiers and different things, officers, and they might get help out or suggest to the government what they think the Bahamas should do to help with the Asian
problem.
But you're talking long and again. Thanks. I hang up and
listen. Yeah, okay. I'm assuming you're talking about the Haitian Bahamians, right? And not necessarily the Haitians, the poor Haitians who immigrated here. And if they are Haitian Bahamians you're speaking with, and they are doctors and nurses, I want them to stay here. I'm selfish. I don't want no good Haitian behavior doctor going back to Haiti. You need to stay in Princess Margaret Hospital and help us out. We already give you all the free things. You can't be carrying that back. Stay here and help develop us. But let's talk about the commentary by the good reverend, right?
Uh-huh.
The good reverend basically said that some women is lying.
No, he said people just lie.
Who people? Only women that we talk about is rape, married.
He said people just lie.
So who people he talking about? If he ain't talking about women.
Well, I mean, you said he's a good. Let's say he's a good man. I believe he's a good man.
You read the article. You read the article, and then we decide on if he mean men or if he mean women. Because I interpret he mean women and his lie.
As Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis. Cabinet ministers and other senior government officials looked on a prominent pastor lament. They were in the room when he said it?
In the room watching him. There's him. Go ahead.
Lamented efforts to criminalize marital rape during a national ecumenical church service yesterday, declaring, quote, people does lie, close quote. See, I could agree
Marital rape and people does lie.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Obviously, you're talking about the men who say they don't rape their wives. Isn't that who you're talking about?
No, you're talking about the women, them. That's why we can't pass.
Not Rex Major.
Read that again, then.
No. I'm reading it again. I mean, the part where declaring people is lying.
No, finish reading that. That's what we understand.
Evangelist Rex Major questioned how spouses would prove marital rape and said some women would use rape claims only to end their marriage.
You mean woman? Woman is lying. From Delilah to Eve.
His comments came less than a week after the AG revealed that the failure to criminalize marital rape was other countries' number one human rights concern with the Bahamas. During the recent UN Human Rights Council Universal Periodic Review.
He talked about Joseph and the Pharaoh and when he was inside the prison.
He did?
No, I'm just saying, analyzing it now. He got to be talking about when a woman, say, Joseph molested and then had possible, what is the prophecy? I got to read that story again.
He ain't talking about when they say, do you know that man on the cross? And the boy said, I don't know who that is. And the boy said, but y'all came in the same taxi. He said, boss,
rock,
that way on that cross?
Church, on this rock, you don't be talking about people who the church is built on. Anyway, I have a caller.
Let's just change this whole conversation. Because I certainly know what rock this church was built on in the Bahamas.
Go ahead. But we just pass the caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Brother Cecil. Hey, Sister Erin.
Morning.
You don't believe a woman's lie, right?
Listen. This subject, no matter how you slice this, you know, persons are going to be offended. Men have the right to defend their honor and their integrity and also represent the rights of men. Just as the women right now is doing the same thing with this particular issue. You know, the thing is, Rex Major, I find no degradation at all with what he has said because he's absolutely correct. Not saying that all women will weaponize this matter to use against their husbands, because we know from time immemorial things have been going on for quite some time, and not just here in the Bahamas, but across the world. Weaponizing a matter to get what they want from it is possible. So what he mentioned is not something that is impossible. The second part that he so rightfully said is how are you going to prove that a rape occurred in your marriage if sex is a part of the marital covenant? These are the subjects.
You sound like Reverend Major.
See, Jeff, that's what I say, and that's why I know that Rex, Mr. Major,
Reverend Major,
could not be talking about women alone. When you say people just lie,
a man's lie.
Yeah, everybody does, and you know I give respect to him because he's a man that I've known well over 40 years. All right, he does not speak off the cuff. This man speaks very definitively. He speaks accurately, and I mean, his reputation alone on many of the subjects that he has touched on, as far as the Bahamas and our Bahamian people are concerned,
Thank
nobody
you,
really found issues with them.
Jeff, but I appreciate
like I said, closing, this matter is a very, very touchy one, and across the divide, people are going to be offended.
Thanks,
and that's the end of that. Thanks for taking my call.
Aaron, Jeff's saying the good Reverend have a gift.
Why are you putting Jeff's name in this just now? Good morning, Jeff. I'm glad for your contribution.
Yeah, I will make sure I make this point. Jeff is saying that the good Reverend Rex Major have the gift of discernment, and he has discerned to boom his light.
So let me ask you a question about this gift of discernment. Can he share it with men so they could determine if the woman can lie before they get married? Where is the giving out of this gift? Dear Reverend Rex Major, how can these men find this gift for themselves so before they
just
get married?
Upset. That the good
before woman, they could get married, they could discern whether this woman will lie on them.
That woman does lie, and they can lie to get out of the marriage where the good man just wants to stay married, and they can lie and say, hey, but he molested me. That's what I interpreted. And the good reverend's on the moon. A number of pastors have that subtle thinking in the back of their head. This is why they continue to object. And just
understand
that the good reverend has enunciated publicly, stating this is the point of why we as Christian men believe that this shouldn't pass by, because women does lie. We remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife.
I have nothing but pity.
For Potiphar's wife?
No, for men in this town who would sit here and frustrate an entire law because they have the discernment to understand that women does lie, but they don't have the discernment to determine which of the women does lie before they marry them.
We have another
in
caller.
Fact, I'm going to become a men's rights advocate, and I'm going to advocate on your behalf, and the first thing you all need to stop doing is getting married.
Aaron, what if God wasn't with Joseph? What would have happened to Joseph? Because the woman lied. Anyway, let's go to the next call. Let's go to the next caller, Aaron. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, this is Nuri.
This is Nuri.
What's up, brother boy?
Yeah.
It's Tiger.
Yeah, man. Bless his man.
Now watch this.
Tiger.
Now watch this. The majority of us agree with the pastor, Mr. Major.
See?
As it relates to a woman lying and the possibility that it could happen, because the space too open. He's right. It's too easy to get out of a relationship. Say if a woman seeing another woman, she's a lesbian. She won't get rid of
Tiger, 1 second. Before you go down this line of questioning, take a moment to say good morning, Miss Green. Recognize the lesbians in the room before you go down this path. You seem like such a nice boy the way you hail up my boy. Why you can't hail me up like that?
My name is Chris.
Good morning.
Lady.
Blessings.
So, lady.
Yes, sir.
Lady, a beautiful woman.
Blessings.
sorry about that.
Everything cool.
But, I just recognize Mr. Neary, because he is us,
I appreciate the
one. You is us, we are all behemoths and all that stuff. And that's a good thing. But the reality...
go on, don't watch nothing.
Ms. Green said, don't watch nothing. But the reality is, though, as a Christian nation, we can't be trying to enforce laws, international laws in our country as it relates to our marriage. We have a constitution, and the truth is that two couples in a bed, whatever happened in the bed, is their business. Now, if a man beating up a woman in the bed, abusing her and stuff like that, he got to go to court. And he have to be charged. And if she want to leave him and she want to get the divorce, then that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, when it comes, open this leg, boy, give me this thing.
I can let you go, Satagger. Thanks very much. And see, like I said, Aaron, there's a number of Christian men who are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And Reverend Rex Major has said it publicly now, so now we understand that this is a real concern.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. But here's my... Where do we move from here? Why aren't these reverends, these Christian men, these men of affluence and influence creating mechanisms to help men protect themselves. So women just lie. And like you say, Marie, apparently they've been lying from Joseph was a potter. Have men not figured out by now, in 2023, in the year of our Lord, that they need to start operating differently? I blame the older men who thought that the world was going to always be the same, even though the Bible they follow and tell them it ain't go so, right? For not preparing, not just young men, but preparing their communities. We say we love marriage and we honor it, and it's the most sacred institution among us. But you look around this place, we don't respect marriage. We don't have institutions that support marriage or married people. We don't even think that people need places for their children to be safe, even though we tell them, go get married, be fruitful and multiply.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller.
Ms. Grant.
Yes, sir.
He also mentioned we should discourage same-sex marriage, man on man, and woman on woman. My question is, do you think that was the right place for him to be saying that? And did you think the Prime Minister and Fred Mitchell them should have walked out or say something about it? I'll hang up and listen to that.
Well, you're deep today.
Okay. Mr. Newry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a microphone.
You know you have as a group.
Let me just find it. No mind. That's cool.
Trying to beat you.
I don't mind.
I don't walk out on people though.
No, I don't mind. See, these things has happened, and Mr. Major is a senior man.
He is a senior man,
right? I'll tell you, Papa. I don't know what I would have done if I were in the room. See, this is what community is about, right? And this is why community is important, because community is community that holds us together. See, I know Rex Major's family, and he know my family. And what Rex Major meant to my grandmother, like my grandmother, Corinne Mitchell, mm-hmm. what she would have expected from me, no matter how upset I felt, would to be respectful to the space that I was in.
Amen.
I can tell you all the story about how Lyle Bethel tried to talk about me in my grandmother's church.
In the church?
In the church.
Talk about you personally?
Talk about me personally in the church. Caused my grandmother such conflict. She couldn't say anything because of the rules of her church, but she got up and went to the bathroom to have a moment by herself.
Amen. She going
right? So my grandmother taught me to be better than that, to like disrupt a space.
I appreciate that story.
Right? It's all about community. It's community that holds us together. And I appreciate, see, Papa asked that question, like we in community. Your friend Tiger, mm-hmm. when I raised the point, he responded to remind us we in community.
Yes.
That's what the most important part is.
Yes. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A pleasant good morning, Mr. Newry.
Blessings to you.
And to Ms. Green.
Good morning.
Good morning to the nation. Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
You are a very beautiful lady. You are highly intelligent. And I'm telling you, if I wasn't already married, I would ask you to marry me.
Look how you're putting on you in front of me.
I will make a beautiful queen out of you, Miss Green. But I love your intelligence. I love the way you communicate. But we need you on the side of building families and building relationships. So, you know, we need persons like you that have the level of intelligence that you have to educate men and women and how they should function in a family that God designed. No other kind of family, but the family that God designed. You know, because I listen to you every day, and then you are very, very good. Okay, so I just want to compliment you. I want to commend you, and, you know, I want to encourage you to continue to keep up the good work, and just see if you can help us build traditional family where man and woman can collaborate and raise family in a decent way.
Thank you so much. But let me bait Aaron. The good gentleman says that you're a very attractive woman and he would make you a good and decent woman by marrying you off. And he wants you to promote the idea of husband and wife marriages. Just making sure that you heard that clear.
I promote the idea of husband and wife marriages all the time.
Just making sure.
I love to do it. You know why? Because I have plenty straight friends who I love, and I love their families. I am extreme. I'm very supportive of. Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a rule, always make things. And when I give things away, if you have a wife or you have a husband, you got to get two.
True.
Why? Because it's two of y'all.
That's good.
You ain't just my friend. Y'all is my friend.
I just said, man is a lie, woman is a lie, six and a half dozen. It's the same thing. I've heard that before. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, a pleasant good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing?
I'm doing, Sparky.
Pleasant good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning, good morning.
And first of all, I'm not disguising my voice. I've been having some dental work done, so it might hear a difference in my slur.
Go ahead.
I wanted to say one thing. What do you think about this, Mr. Nuri, as a man? One time ago, the only avenue of divorce used to be adultery. Remember that?
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Listen to this. A woman divorces her husband. They have one child. Because she heard that he was doing adultery. She was granted the divorce. A year or two later, she turns around, interferes with another marriage, with a married man who has five children, and ends up marrying to that man. Woman is lied. How you think about that? You get mad because your husband fooling with somebody else. But then you go fool with somebody else's husband.
Okay.
Take him away and break up a whole family. Think about that.
Let me think about it and speak on it. Again, man is lie, woman is lie, 6.5 dozen is the same thing.
Well, that's like to hear, but for the subsequent paragraphs in the article, I swear to you that Rex Major is saying that people does lie. People does lie. Right? But the solution to this problem is not in the criminalization of rape or not criminalizing rape. The solution to this problem is focusing on fixing the environment, helping people make healthier decisions. That's it. Help people make healthier decisions. I tell men all the time, you have the right to not have sex until you are ready. You have the right to plan out your life. You have the right to say to a woman, look here, I is man and I have rules. And these are what the rules are. But better yet, we have the right, if we say we are Christians, to hold firm to the laws, the rules, the doctrine, the scripture, and the tradition from the Anglican perspective. Scripture, doctrine, tradition. Hold firm to those things.
Okay, I have a next text here. And producer, they're saying that our mics are too loud, so they're hearing it kind of muffled.
Yeah.
So just in case you can correct that, especially going on to Howard's show on the next side.
I didn't want them to get you out on you.
No. They're just saying that it's so blatant that they couldn't understand, right? And big shout out to the gentleman in Missouri who's listening. This text says, I was trying to call to make this point, but can't get on. I am a happily married man of 12 years, and Aaron is correct. So correct. If I ever have to worry about my wife crying rape, then she needs not to be my wife. I will never have to worry about a rape law because I would never rape my wife. By the way, Aaron, I'm a Christian man, and I don't want people to think all Christian men are against such a bill. And we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Well, some pastors definitely against this. And there's a guy here that some Christian men can see the need for such a bill because they know that they'll never be accused of rape. However, woman does lie, according to the pastor.
Watch this. There's lots of opposition to this. What I find interesting is what I see. Women oppose the criminalization, a lot of women, not all, a lot of women oppose the criminalization of marital rape because they think if you declare it rape, if you call it rape, that means the marriage is over.
Over. A good man can't rape his wife.
And see, that's why I talk about the language, why it's important to call it rape as opposed to indecent sexual assault or unlawful sexual sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unlawful sex. It's important to call it rape, but what a lot of women are saying, if you call it rape, then that surely that means the marriage is over. Because how can I go and lay back in the bed with my rapist?
I want to explore that point, Aaron. And can I ask you the question? And forgive me for interrupting.
No,
I was on a good pivot there. A wicket there. Mm-hmm. If a woman accuses her good husband of raping her, you've put in the suggestion that definitely the marriage should be over. But we know that women tend to be a forgiving creature, a accommodating creature. Mm. How can you publicly accuse your husband of rape? That, yes, that man raped me.
Right.
And then say later on, it was a misunderstanding. I was just mad But he did force himself, but it was a miscommunication because this is how we normally have sex. See, that conversation terrifies men.
Right. It does, right? And I want to say, not that women want to because you use the word like women want to do rape. Not do it. They want to charge with rape.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. Women, they don't want the marriage to break up. They want their partner to be better. And you find that with men. Men stick with women in abusive relationships. They don't want the woman to be punished. They just wanted to get help. They wanted to be better. They want their partner to be better.
I see women use that a lot. That, in fact, there is a case or a claim, because we haven't heard anything about it from the police anymore,
yeah,
about a politician. And initially, the woman said, I wanted him to get help and do better. I don't want... I don't want this bad behavior to continue.
Right, and so
if he get help and stop it, I can move on in this relationship.
Right.
And a number of women tend to do that, but when they get to the point where they say, "Man, no, and he raped me."
I'm saying all of this. I know we got a call. I'm saying all of this to say this: that if we look at all of the perspectives, right? If we approach it from the perspective of those women, right, who say, I want a measure to acknowledge what happened and to cause him to correct his behavior, but I don't want him to be unjustly penalized. I don't want him to be criminalized, and I don't want to call it rape because rape is a definitive statement that tears apart the relationship, right? If we come at this discussion from that perspective, then there's a lot more room for discussion, for connection, for compromise. If we come at it from women as lies, so we don't need the law at all,
mm-hmm,
that's ridiculous. I need you all to understand that's ridiculous. And we can't come at it from that perspective. We protect no one because some people lie.
Okay, let's go to this caller, then we take a break after this, and then we transition to this halfway house.
Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, yes, we're going to transition to it, but not me.
No?
I am changing my life.
You want to go to the halfway house?
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
Not to.
I want to know where this halfway house can be.
I don't know if we need to know that. But yeah, I think at the same time, perhaps we do need to know that.
And is it possible to rape a man? Because I see.
Yes, it is possible to rape a man. I'm tired of this. It is possible to rape a man. Physiologically, it is possible for a man to remain erect, even though psychologically and emotionally, he does not want the act to occur.
I was trying to envision that.
It is possible.
Anyway.
Throw that off the table.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary and Ms. Green.
Morning.
How you doing?
Listen, I'm listening here, and I'm trying to figure out the same thing again, saying, who is the pastor called saying that lies? You understand? Mm-hmm. To me, I believe he's saying women.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the ones who have to bring up the allegation, aren't they?
That's what I see.
Or the man, in the case of a man, is rape.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But however it goes, I feel like those who are afraid of such laws are those who are guilty of those type of offense. Me, I'm not going to teeth because I'm afraid that, for one, if I teeth, I can get cash, and number two, I'll get in jail. I want that, so I can still listen to that. So if they bring up a law for it, it does not affect me because I'm not on that level.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So if you're afraid of the law being, and I think some women who are don't want it to be called rape because that's a stain against your name. You got women, your fellow women, and suppose you say a pastor's wife. You got other pastor's wife and your church members, they can look at you differently if they know that you was raped.
Because mm-hmm,
people do look at you differently when you report such things.
Mm.
I think that's one of the reasons why now you may have it happen, but you're not having it report as much, because it's not that they're afraid of the man going to jail or them losing the relationship. I think it's more of they're afraid of the stigma that is going to be placed on them once it's out in the public. And you know, as behemoths, be private. We keep everything secret.
Say some profound things. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
The stain of being called a rapist. There are a number of politicians, in the House, ministers,
mm-hmm,
who said that perhaps we need to change the word rape. We've seen it inside the dialogue. Say, no, that rape harsh thing, you can't be calling no man no rapist. We can call them something else.
Even if they are?
Even if they rape a person, you just can't call them that because that goes to their psyche. It diminishes a man in such a way that you can't call a husband a rapist.
Even if he actually is proven guilty of committing the crime of rape?
You just can't call a husband a rapist. You can call him an
abuser. No, you can't call your husband a rapist.
You call him an abuser.
Right, because remain in a relationship with someone who is a rapist is to suggest that you are worth nothing more than to be with a rapist, right? I could appreciate that. How does the relationship maintain? But the question of how does a man who has committed the act of rape, has been found guilty of committing the act of rape, and has served his sentence, has served his time, how does a man then reintegrate himself into society after that?
Yes.
That is a question for all of us to answer, but for men to lead the charge on.
I forget we didn't take our break, so producer, start playing the music to take the break. And I want to ask you something, but I'll ask you on the other side, Aaron, right? Mm-hmm. But let's go to that quick break, producer, and come right back. Because I remember saying we're going to break, right?
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Welcome back to Mashup Wednesday, Man Down. We're talking about the commentary by the Venerable Rex Major, and he was given the opinions of a number of Christian men, a number of reverends, that they are concerned about people. That's the word Aaron keep on saying. I use the word people, even though I injected women. That people does lie. And that perhaps the people does lie about rape. But I want to say this, Aaron. We had a number of texts, number of callers who are putting forward a narrative, a negative narrative. I'll use that for this conversation. A negative narrative about women. I have one text that said that in the Bahamas, women does lie about men being the fathers of these children,
mm-hmm.
right? And I've seen how they can put jackets on men. They can lie about this rape, and they are concerned. My question to you is, are you concerned that a number of men have this in back of their head, a negative outlook of women who they eventually married?
Yes. What does it mean psychologically? What does it mean? What is the psychological state of our men if they all believe this? All of these women, they bad mind, and they only waiting for the opportunity to catch and take advantage of a good man like me. What state are men living in? And why do the men who experience this place differently not reach out to them and say, brethren, what are y'all, what's happening? What do you need? I am disturbed by it. Now, I know that's not all men. We know that. That's not all men. But what I think it speaks to is a significant issue, which is unprocessed trauma men have with their mothers.
What did you say about my mother?
There you go. Unprocessed trauma that men have with their mothers.
Why are you all women always saying this, our mother's fault, man? All women always accusing us men that you have issues with your mother. That's why you act this way.
I didn't say it was your fault. You said it was the mother's fault, right?
No, I'm just trying to understand what's happening.
I'm suggesting that it's all of our faults. That we continue to build a society that says that parenthood, being fruitful and multiplying, that marriage, we say that these things are important, but we don't show that they're important. Our institutions don't show that they're important. Our social activities don't show that they're important. Our public infrastructure doesn't show that it's important. Our regard for each other does not show that it's important. And so I feel a profound sympathy for not just men, but for people who have been socialized into behavior that they don't understand.
So let's use this last 7 minutes to talk about this halfway house.
Yeah.
I understand the need to show support of persons who are trying to transition, to show that they're doing better. Mind you, I think our resources need to be used for single women who need housing also, because it's a housing shortage.
A housing crisis.
Crisis, right? I think there are a number of indigent Bahamians who need to have access to housing.
And we need more housing, geriatric and elder
elderly persons. And so I find it uneasy that we're concentrating on, they say reform or reforming criminals. But see,
you know what is even,
other behemoths haven't broken any law yet. They ain't getting that support yet.
And you know what's even more problematic? The question, how many people want to be on parole? How many people want to be on parole versus fulfilling their sentence entirely and being free of the state?
Mm. And see, Aaron, the inner city is crowded, right? It's crowded with people fighting over and competing against scarce resources.
Yeah.
So the crime is always going to be there because it is competition.
And the density as
well. And the density, right? And I'm saying more than likely these halfway houses is going to be next to a school. More than likely these halfway houses is going to be next to a church, next to young people and women and vulnerable people. I'm not sure that Bahamians should be subjugated to this. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be forced to handle this. I'm saying that if you're going to consider a halfway house, put that out west. Culturalize these criminals or ex-criminals or transition. Say, hey, you can live this quality of life if you be good. Put it against people who have gated communities and who have the resources to have cameras. I don't have the resources to have a camera. I don't have the resources to have a high gate to be on guard. I can't watch my child 24/7 if she goes into the park, right? That could happen out west. Mm-hmm. So I hear you cry for the halfway houses, right? But I'm saying that you are blatantly attacking me again. It's like you don't want me to survive.
Here's the thing. I think studies will show that reintegration is more effective when people reintegrate, I think, into communities they're familiar with and into spaces, maybe not the same community, but spaces that they're familiar and comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. But the question arises, what if these people were locked up for terrorizing people in their own communities?
Lord have mercy.
Right? Like, what? Tell us more about this program. Tell us what reintroduction to communities will look like, right? We need to know more. Tell us, how do you determine who goes where? Do they have to have a family in that community, a household that they could check in with? What if it's domestic, right? What if the crime is domestic violence or of a sexual nature?
Will these people want a person who is committed for rape be in a halfway house in my neighborhood?
Right. Will they wear ankle bracelets? Will those ankle bracelets actually be monitored real time? As opposed to, oh, you suspect him of something? Let me check the records. Hmm. Right? And like you say, what if it's a crime of a sexual nature? How close to the park will the halfway house be? How close to a school will the halfway house be? How close to a liquor store will the halfway house be? How will you monitor the halfway house? What are the rules? Who's allowed to be in the halfway house?
Who'll be paying for it? I mean, I could be paying for this. The people them to be in my neighborhood too?
Yeah. And what if the halfway house has better amenities and facilities and infrastructure
than
people in the community around it? How are these things being considered? Who are you talking to about them? How are we making these decisions?
And they want me to support this?
We got to support it.
Oh, I ain't got to do nothing but pay taxes. That's
you,
it.
You can support it one way or another. That's not what you told me at the beginning of the show, Mr. Newey.
I did.
But it is a serious question. Where is the money coming from? But more importantly, and this is, I know this is an aside, it appears, but who say they won't be on parole? Mm. Who said that they wanted to be on parole versus fulfill their entire
the
sentence and
crowded.
Be free of this?
The prison's
build
crowded.
A new prison.
We need to get them out of the prison
I could be honest with you. At some point, somebody going to have to pack up their briefcase, put all their papers in it, the little tea bag, the cream cracker, the biscuit, the little lunch bag they get from the fancy meeting, like when water and sewage having board meeting at a hotel versus at their conference. Mm-hmm. Room, right? Let one of them pay for it. Because it appears as if you're telling me it's so difficult keeping these prisoners in the prison, we're going to have to let them out on the streets. It's so difficult governing the country, we're going to have to ignore the Constitution. It's so difficult finding foreign direct investment, we're going to have to ignore the rules about environmental protections. At some point, somebody going to have to say, I'm not prepared to do the job. I'm ready to go home.
Iggy, it's been Guiding Radio in the AM with C.A. Newey. And of course, it's a mash-up Man Down Wednesday with Aaron Green on the clock. And you have a beautiful day.
That was good. Mm-hmm.
I was...